Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's message is the gospel lesson where we hear the words once again. Jesus quickly made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the people. After sending them away, he went up into the hills to be alone and to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. The boat, now many hundred yards from the shore, was troubled by the waves because there was a headwind. Toward morning, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in terror. Immediately, he talked to them. "Be courageous," he said. "It is I. Stop being afraid." Peter answered, "Lord, if it is you, order me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and went toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was frightened and started to sink. "Lord, save me," he cried. Quickly, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. "How little you trust me," he said to him. "Why did you doubt?" When they stepped into the boat, the wind stopped, and the men in the boat bowed down before him and said, "You certainly are the Son of God." These are the words of our text. This story of Jesus sending the disciples out in the boat, and the storm, and Jesus walking on the water toward them, is perhaps one of my most favorite gospel stories. And recently I saw two paintings that depicted different parts of the story. One showed Jesus up on that hill, on that mountain, as the disciples were crossing the lake. And for those who have never been to Israel, the Holy Land, to see the Sea of Galilee, the area, the basin where that lake is really like a bowl. And the disciples are trying to get across to the other side, and there's a wind coming against them. When I lived in Michigan, there were members that had a place on Lake Ogibek, and they were telling me about a storm one time, and it was so windy that he said there was a man in a motorboat. He said he probably had a 10 or a 15 horse motor on there, and he was trying to get to one of the cabins down shore from them. And he said the wind was so strong, it was like that boat was just standing right in front of their cabin. So the only reason we knew that he had the motor going was the bow was up. That was a similar kind of wind that these disciples were up against. And in that painting, Jesus is praying, and in the background is the boat on the lake. Jesus had sent them across to the other side, but he hadn't forgotten them. They were very much in his prayer as he spent time with his Father in prayer. And yet another painting depicts Peter not walking on the water to the Lord, but rather when Peter is sinking. And it shows Jesus standing on the water, reaching down to save Peter. The scriptures, our translations say, he took hold of his hand. Our hand isn't a very good grip. If somebody's slipping, and I grab a hold of their hand, chances are they're just going to slip right out of my hand. And in that painting, Jesus isn't simply grabbing hold of the hand of Peter. Peter isn't sort of locked in a finger hold with Jesus, but Jesus has him firmly by the wrist. Parents understand that hold, don't they? A child can wiggle out of the hand hold and pry out of the finger hold, but there's no getting away from that wrist lock, is there? You can squirm and you can wiggle and you can try to get away, but mom and dad have you firmly in their grip. And Jesus had Peter firmly in his grip. And there's so much in this section of Matthew's gospel, but I only want to highlight a couple of things. First, it's Jesus that makes the disciples get into the boat in the first place. Jesus made them get into the boat and go to the other side. Trouble happens. They're in this headwind. They can't get across to the other side, and then lo and behold, in the early stage of the morning, something's coming to them on the water. And they think it's a ghost, which was a common thought for fishermen of Jesus and the disciples' day. They were very superstitious. And Jesus says to them, he talks to them, "Be courageous, it's me. Don't be afraid." And Jesus' voice would have carried over to that boat on the wind, and you would think they would have recognized that voice and that they would have been stilled by that, knowing that voice. Just like a child, or even an adult, is set at ease when they hear that familiar voice over the crowd crying, "Here I am," or calling out a child's name. "I'm over here," and you follow the voice. But the disciples are stubborn. They're feared and not listening. They're caught so much in this fear. And then Peter musters up enough, can't just trust the voice, but "Lord, if it is you," and not a ghost, "if it is you, tell me to come out on the water." Which Jesus says, "Okay, come." Now maybe I'm not as adventurous as Peter is, but I would think that if the Lord's voice said, "Okay, come," that would be enough for me. I wouldn't necessarily have to go out on the water. But Peter goes out on the water, and he looks at the wind, and he looks at the waves, and he becomes fearful. So much so that he begins to sink, because he's taken his eyes off of his Savior. He's taken his eyes off of God. And he's looking around at all the problems, all the storm around him, and he begins to worry, and he begins to become anxious. And he begins to become fearful again. And all of that fear, all of that anxiety, all of that worry weighs him down, and he begins to sink. My sister-in-law's husband and their oldest son were on a mission trip recently to Belize. And they had flown down there, and they were in the airport. And the guard at the entrance into the country said, "No one is allowed in unless they have permission from both parents to enter into the country." Well, my sister-in-law's husband and their son, they only had his permission. They didn't have my sister-in-law's permission. Plus, there were other students there that maybe had one parent's permission on their list, but nothing other than that. And so they began to, "Well, now what do we do? Do we stay in the airport and only some go across? Or, you know, what are we going to do?" Finally, somebody said, "We need to pray about this." So they went over to an area of the airport, and they began praying. And while they were praying, that same guard who had told them that only if they had two parent signatures on their permission slip could enter into the country came over to them and said, "You've waited long enough. You can go into the country." One of the people that went along had a whole bunch of books that she wanted to give to an orphanage. And another group got on the same bus and piled their stuff on top so that she couldn't get at the books. and she was a little upset. And there were things that were happening along the first few days of that trip that just made it stormy and made it disappointing and made it uncomfortable. They only had like 30 students come for vacation Bible school. And it was really looking like a big disaster. And so they got together and they had a meeting and they said, you know what? We need to pray about this and we need to give it to the Lord, because this is not our mission trip, it's the Lord's mission trip. And so they met and they prayed and they gave it to the Lord. And the next day as they were walking through town, suddenly there were 100 kids following them to the vacation Bible school. And by the end of the week, the person who had all the books for the orphanage that were sitting in the bus, because all this other stuff was packed on it, was asked to teach the Sunday school lesson. And she happened to have just enough books for each of those students who came to that Sunday school. The disciples here in this boat and those people on that mission trip, and you and I gathered here today, we all have something in common. And that is, we see the storms around us in our lives. And we become fearful, we become anxious, we even begin sometimes to doubt God's love for us, God's grace to us, God's forgiveness, God's provision for us, His love for us. Because we move our sight from our Savior to ourselves and to our world. What can I do with this mess? How am I going to help myself out of this? How are we going to handle this? Nowhere does Matthew mention that anyone in the boat said, we need to pray about this. But Jesus was on the hill praying, wasn't he? Sometimes in our lives, we don't stop to say, we need to pray about this. But Jesus is praying for us. His Spirit is praying for us. And something rather profound in that statement that someone on that trip made, this isn't our mission trip, it's the Lord's mission trip, and we need to give it to Him, is that as we go through life, we tend to think that, hey, this is my life. And it really isn't, is it? It's the Lord's life. And sometimes we need to give our life over to Him. And finally, when they get in the boat and the wind stops, the people in the boat, the disciples, these are people who have been with Jesus at Cana at the wedding feast where water is turned into wine. These are people who had seen Him heal the sick, raise the dead, give sight to the blind, and speech and hearing to the deaf and the mute. These are people who had seen all of these things. And even at some various times, after some of those significant events, we're told that they put their trust in Him, they put their faith in Him. And here in this boat, after this scene, we're told they worshipped Him and said, yes, You certainly are the Son of God. These were men who heard Jesus' teaching, who saw Him do the miracles, who still doubted, who still come to the realization, You are the Son of God, You are the Savior. And we're no different than they are, we. Yes, we confess Jesus is our Lord, but aren't there those times in our lives when we're just not really caught off guard, but just caught in awe that, yes, Lord, You really are the Son of God. Martin Luther says that faith is the hand that reaches up and grabs hold of all that Christ has done for us by His life, by his death on the cross and by his resurrection. If our Lord Jesus grabs you and I in that wrist hold, may he also enable us by faith to grab a hold of that grace and that righteousness and that salvation and that perfect peace, not simply with a handhold that we allow it to slip from our grip so often, but that in faith we can grab hold of those great blessings with a wrist hold also. And in our times of storminess, whether it be in our lives, in our families' lives, in our community's life, in our congregation's life, may we ever remember to look to the Lord and to ask him to guide and to direct and to bless us according to his purposes and according to his will, that he may receive glory and praise. Amen.